Hello, Dog Nation, and welcome back to the Dog Nation preseason. I'm Kaylee Mansell with Connor Riley. I am back from vacation. I'm feeling refreshed and excited to get after Connor today. Connor, can I just say that, Pookie, you're looking absolutely fired today.
Okay, noted. I did not expect that is how we were going to begin the show, but all right, I guess I'm Pookie.
I couldn't even say that with a serious face, but I wanted to catch you off guard today. But here's one thing that I am serious about. Spring practice is in full effect, and there's been a lot of buzz around this freshman class. I mean, the number one rated class in the country, lots of big names, some flips, and there's been a lot of talk about these guys, even from Kirby Smart, who is not a hype train man. In your time with Dog Nation, have you ever seen a freshman class that's been talked about this much over the course of spring practice?
I mean, yeah, in part because reporters are just asking about freshmen because they're new players to the team. There's obviously a lot of interest in that. Stories about these guys just generally tend to do better. But Kirby is, I think, being perhaps forthcoming and expectation setting for some of these guys. Obviously, when you sign the number one cornerback in the country, Nellis Robinson, you flip five-star safety KJ Bolden, there's naturally going to be a lot of interest in that. And so I think that explains why we're hearing so much about these guys, because from a reporter standpoint, from a fan perspective, they want to hear how these guys are doing, because as we've seen at Georgia, whether it be Malachi Starks, Michael Williams, CJ Allen, these guys are going to end up playing in this freshman season for Georgia in the 2024 year.
As we mentioned before, Kirby's not a hype train guy. I'd like to think of him as all bite, no bark. But we did get the opportunity to listen to him on Tuesday when he did his media availability, and he was asked about the status of Ellis Robinson and KJ Bolden. So here's Kirby Smart on the newest freshman.
Yeah, they're first spring players. They're talented players. Everything they were advertised to be in terms of being good football players, instinctive. They both learn well. They both have toughness. I think both of them will contribute on special teams because they can run, hit, tackle. I'm excited about those guys. You know, the expectation of the outside world is that they're going to set the place on fire. We have good football players here. They're going to go compete with those guys and hopefully earn some ability to play and play in time. But as far as KJ's recruitment, I don't see kids as committed to other places because, I mean, they're not signed. There's no, like, we recruit good football players. We evaluate every player the same, whether they're committed or not. And if there's interest from them and there's conversation from them and there's visits where they come to your campus, then you just be very consistent. And we're very consistent with KJ. The recruitment never stopped. And I told him that from the day he committed to the day that he came to us. We were not going to stop recruiting because we think he's a great kid from a great family and a really, really good football player. So he and Ellis have a chance to make us much better in the day and age of college football, day and age of college football, where you better have depth and you better have players. When guys leave, these guys are going to get opportunities to play.
So in listening to that, I think the word that stands out to me the most is expectation. With Ellis Robinson being the number one cornerback in the country, KJ Bolden being the number one highest rated player out of the state of Georgia, there is a lot of expectation around these two players to perform well. How hard is it going to be for them to live up to this hype that's being built around them?
Incredibly hard, as Ron Washington would say about playing first base. We'll start with Ellis here. Look, Ellis Robinson is as polished as a cornerback as Georgia has brought in under Kirby Smart. This guy was the number two overall player in this class. He is a guy that did extremely well covering a very talented group of 2024 wide receiver recruits, balled out in Orlando this year, has played at IMG Academy, which has been a factory for producing not just college football players, but strong players from Georgia. You think Nolan Smith, Warren Brinson, Dalen Everett, just to name a few. And he's as good as any of them. And so I think for Ellis coming in, look, he's going to have to bulk up. We saw it at spring practice earlier this year. Him trying to tackle Roderick Robinson, who is a good 60 pounds heavier than Ellis. And as physics would show us there, Roderick Robinson got the better of Ellis. But Ellis got up quickly. And by all accounts, this is a guy who was pushing for first team reps. And I think cornerback is one of those positions where the farther you are away from the line of scrimmage, I think easier it is to come in and play. So if he's showing a willingness to be a physical defender and willing to come up and tackle, he's got more than enough natural ability as a cover guy to, I think, make a real impact for Georgia this year. They've got a lot of talented cornerbacks ahead of him: Dalen Everett, Julio Humphrey, Daniel Harris. But as we've seen with Georgia before, if you're good enough, you're old enough, and if Ellis Robinson is all that he has cracked up to be, I would not be surprised in the slightest if we see him taking big snaps for Georgia this season.
So another person that's really big on this hype train is our very own Dog Nation recruiting insider, Jeff Sintel, who last night on his show before the Hedges did his five freshman standouts to watch during spring practice. And of course, at the top of his list are Ellis Robinson and KJ Bolden. Here's what Jeff Sintel had to say about the two freshmen.
You're hearing a lot about Ellis Robinson, of course, and he's making a play, whether it's an interception or in coverage, he's been consistent. KJ Bolden, you got to give the Buford safety a lot of this. He's also flashing a lot, making a lot of plays. Everybody sees how well he moves. He's actually shown a little bit more physicality than most maybe what would have thought out of the gate.
Again, Jeff Sintel has been very high on these two players, both since they've been signed, even though KJ came a little bit later. That was a humongous flip for Georgia. But these are two guys who I feel like they are the two most notable names in the entire class. And as you've gotten the chance to hear what they've done during spring practice, do you have any sort of player comps for them or anybody that you see them as comparable to in their play style?
You know, that's going to be tough because I just haven't seen them actually line up and play to this point in terms of what they're going to be able to do. I would note that KJ, he's not quite as big as Malachi Starks is. I know that there might be some expectation for KJ to come in and play right away as Malachi Starks did. Malachi is a good bit bigger and had just had a bigger frame and thus was able to carry more weight as a freshman at the University of Georgia. But I think as Jeff touched on there, KJ has shown a little bit more physicality than I think some people anticipated when he first signed with the program. And Georgia does have some openings at that safety position. And with Malachi Starks out this spring, there are tons of reps to be had. And it already sounds like KJ Bolden is making the most of those opportunities. There's still a long way to go before Georgia's first game against Clemson on August 31st. But by all accounts, KJ Bolden, a guy who had a lot of hype coming into this spring, has already lived up to it and then some with how he started spring practice.
So as G-Day gets closer and approaches, that'll be the first time that all of us get a chance to see them on the field. What would you like to see out of Ellis and KJ as G-Day approaches?
I'd like to see them tested and sort of thrown to the fire. And look, we know with G-Day, Georgia's going to throw the football more. That is how they have always done it. I want to see them really test, attack, and go after these guys. Specifically, I want to see Carson Beck sort of hold their feet to the fire and force them to make plays and see how far along they are. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if these guys give up. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if these guys give up some plays in that spring game, in part because that just shows that Georgia trusts them and ultimately wants to get the most out of them.
So in addition to KJ and Ellis, another big name within this signee class is Joseph Jonah Ajanye, aka Nigerian Nightmare, aka JJA. He's a 6'4 D lineman out of Conroe, Texas. Another big name in the class came over with Justin Williams. And Kirby Smart in his media availability the other day actually touched on Joseph Jonah Ajanye. So here is what Coach Smart had to say about him.
Well, I don't know how his development plays out. I think that would be remiss to me to sit here and tell you I know what this guy's going to become. I mean, no defensive lineman comes in here and just dominates a freshman year. I don't. We haven't had any. I think he can provide depth. I think he can get a lot better. The good news is he's getting a lot of work with Ty Ingram, Dawkins out. He's getting 40 to 50 reps a day, which is huge for his development and get better. He's not having to sit over there. Some of the mid-years take 20 to 25 reps. He's getting 30 to 40 reps. And I think it's going to speed up his process and help to provide us some depth.
So for Kirby to talk about how many reps he's getting in comparison to others, what does that say about Joseph Jonah Ajanye, the fact that he's already this involved in spring practice?
Well, I think it speaks to some of the injury situation that Georgia has, specifically at the defensive end position. Tremel Walter played a ton of snaps there over his time at Georgia. He's now off to the NFL. Tyrian Ingram Dawkins is a guy that I think could and will play a ton of snaps there, but with him dealing with a foot injury and out for this spring, it sort of shows that, hey, they're trying things at this defensive line position. And I think one of the things that really stands out with Joseph Jonah Ajanye and seeing him there is you watch him at practice. They did have him following Mykel Williams from drill to drill. And we know Mykel is going to play a little bit more outside linebacker this year. I think he's also still going to play some defensive end, but with Michael moving around a little bit, maybe that does create an opportunity there for Joseph Jonah Ajanya. And I'll say this, you know, you see 6'4", 280 pounds on a sheet of paper, and you don't really have much of a just grasp of how truly big that is. His shoulders are so wide, and he really stands out when you see him at a field level. And for that kind of physicality to already be there as a true freshman, I think is really encouraging for what he might be able to do long-term. As you heard Kirby Smart there, look, I'm not expecting Joseph Jonah Ajanya to come in and be a disruptive player. One, that defensive end position for Georgia just doesn't ask them to do that. They really ask them to set the edge and hold it there. But the fact that he can potentially maybe be a rotation player for Georgia early on, I think it's very encouraging for his long-term development, because we saw Trayvon Walker, a guy with a similar physique, come in and play a specified role in his freshman year for Georgia. And over the course of the year, he really developed to where at the end of the Auburn game in 2019, he makes a game-ending sack there. So again, I think with Joseph Jonah Ajanya on that defensive line position, he's not going to be a day one starter. That's okay. The fact that he's already sort of turning some heads here and playing hard and doing the right things to fit into this Georgia program, I think is really encouraging for what I think his development can be within the course of this 2024 season, and obviously his overall career at Georgia as well.
I think it's really interesting that in spring practice, he's having JJA fall around Michael Williams. What do you think it is that Michael is going to be able to teach JJA in order to help develop him in the future?
I don't know how much of it is, you know, Joseph Jonah learning from Michael, but just sort of seeing, okay, this is how Michael does things. This is how we envision using Michael. And I think we can also potentially use Joseph Jonah Ajanya in a similar role there. And it's important to know when comparing the two, like Joseph Jonah Ajanya is just has a bigger frame to him, has a little bit more meat on his bones, and thus I think can be a more natural defensive end there, a guy that can hold the edge and sit there on the end. Whereas Michael Williams is a little bit of a tweener, and so he could be an outside linebacker, he could be a defensive end. And in a lot of systems, I think that versatility is welcome. But for Georgia, he's a guy that they're going to move him around a lot and ask him to do a lot of different things. And so I think that's the thing that they're really trying to get Joseph Jonah Ajanya to grasp. Being a versatile defender, a guy that can move around, potentially kick down inside on obvious pass rushing situations. And so if they're able to get him to sort of mirror and see what Michael can do, I think that is only going to potentially help him as he transitions into being a college football player.
So the last freshman I want to talk about is another person that Jeff Sintel has been really high on, and that is linebacker Chris Cole. In his 5 freshman standouts last night on Before the Hedges, he spoke about Chris Cole. And I think that Chris Cole is in an interesting position because Smile Munden's out for the spring. So this is somebody that's getting a lot of reps. Here's what Jeff had to say about Chris Cole.
Chris Cole is another guy. Chris Cole's a guy everybody's impressed by his length. They're impressed by how well he moves, how he moves in space, how he can be adaptable to being an inside backer, a box backer, but then also a guy out in coverage.
So as we said, Chris, with Smile Munden out, Chris Cole's getting a lot of reps, but this is a really, really young linebacker room. But you're also very high on this linebacker room. We talked about it when we did our spring position previews. What is the likelihood that Chris Cole is really going to get into the mix this fall?
Slim to none. And that just speaks to, I think, where this linebacker room is. Look, there's no Smile Munden, and that's good to allow Chris Cole to get reps right now. But Jalen Walker's had a really strong spring for Georgia. CJ Allen and Raylan Wilson are going to play a ton of snaps for the Bulldogs this year. You have Troy Bowles there, who's a veteran now, or at least is a more experienced player in that linebacker room. And not to mention that you also have 5-star freshman linebacker Justin Williams and 4-star prospect Chris Jones there as well. It's a really, really deep linebacker room. You think even potentially deeper than it was a season ago. And while, yes, you did see freshman CJ Allen and Raylan Wilson have to play roles this season or that season, I think with Chris, the big thing is going to be, look, this guy was a defensive back at times during his time in high school. How much and how quickly can he pick up and learn that inside linebacker position where they're asking him to make a bunch of calls and do a lot of things at that center of the defense there? He's got an incredible frame and has a ton of promise. But I think right now I might disagree with Jeff a little bit in terms of hyping up Chris Cole so much only because of the talent Georgia has in this inside linebacker room. And I'd be pretty surprised if he makes an on-field defensive impact. But he's absolutely going to be a guy that plays special teams for Georgia this year because of his athleticism and ability to impact the game in that aspect.
So even though Connor and I only got to touch on a few of the freshmen that have been standing out in spring practice, we are doing a Dog Nation Next Generation series that you can check out on our YouTube page, where we break down all the signees from the freshman class, whether it be what they're doing on the field or what's going on with them off the field. So you should definitely check that out if you want to know more about the number one rated class that UGA just signed. All right, so Connor did bring up a good point about a lot of the freshmen. We're not going to see them in their position roles until later on, but we definitely will see them on the special teams because we know that Kirby Smart sees the value in having young guys on special teams and even spoke about it on Tuesday in his media availability. So here is Kirby Smart on UGA special teams.
They felt like you can't develop players in the NFL anymore without special teams, because they feel like young players develop. Charlie Warner, N'Kobe Dean, their first year they played 10 times more snaps on special teams than they did at their position. But those snaps now are irrelevant because it's a fair catch or a touchback. So if you want to develop your roster, you need to have special teams to develop it. We feel the same way. I developed my roster through special teams. The guys last year that started on all the units will probably start at a position this year. So you need those plays to be part of it, but you need them to be safe, because the highest injury rate has been kickoff return, punt return. A lot of that soft tissue, because you would think collisions, but it's more sprint. So you pull. And then also the collisions on kickoff return.
So the guys that started on all units last year on special teams will more than likely start in their positions this year. I think that is a very important thing to note, because it is key in development. And so, Connor, what freshmen are you most excited to see on the special teams this year?
Yeah, I think we touched on KJ Bolden earlier. I think that's a guy, because of range and his versatility and his speed, I think is someone that can impact the game in that way. I think Chris Cole is someone as well. I can vividly remember, and again, he was such a physical outlier, it was just mind-boggling to see him out there. They had Trayvon Walker on the kickoff team at 6'5", 280 pounds as a freshman, and just seeing him in that role is really eye-opening. And then it doesn't surprise you that Trayvon Walker ultimately goes on to become a very good player at Georgia, a number one overall pick, and now a 10 sack guy in the NFL. And getting him out there in the kickoff role, I think was an encouraging sign of his development, of his willingness to buy in, of his ability to be a team player and just try and help this team in any regard. So you often look at those sort of running backs, wide receivers, cornerbacks, some linebackers there, occasionally some defensive linemen pop out. I think maybe a guy who he won't be here this spring, but maybe in the fall, you look at a guy like a running back, Nate Frazier, I think could be someone that'd be very interesting in seeing how he goes about playing on special teams, because we've got a long list of guys that throughout the time here at Georgia have used special teams to break into the backfield.
It's no secret that Kirby Smart likes his freshmen to play on the special teams. A lot of guys got their big start there. Sony Michel is someone that comes to mind. And you see the stars that they ultimately go on to become. And this is something that, a lot of people in the UGA media and Dog fans know that this is a thing. Do you see the benefit or what Kirby's trying to do in having these young guys play on the special teams? And is he doing it right?
Yeah, I absolutely think he's doing it right. I mean, the most classic example is in 2018 when Zamir White first got to Georgia. He tears his ACL on punt coverage. And a lot of people were incredulous at the time. A lot of people were questioning him, asking, why are you doing this? This guy was a five-star running back. He was already coming off an ACL injury. But the reality is Georgia, because they are such a deep roster, they're at a benefit on special teams because they're able to have so many great athletes out there. And it's not a coincidence that more often than not, Georgia has one of the better special teams units in the country because that's where they choose to employ and use so much of their depth. Look, they didn't give up a punt return yard all last season. I think that speaks to the buy-in that these units have on special teams. And so I think it's one, a commitment to Kirby Smart. He understands that in a game where, and he's here to win national championships, the margins are so thin that special teams can so often swing a game. In fact, we saw it just last year in the SEC championship game when Peyton Woodring misses a field goal after a false start penalty on a field goal attempt. So those sorts of things add up over the course of the season. And if you're able to win enough of those small margins because you're playing so many elite athletes on special teams, odds are over the course of the year, and especially in the biggest games, it's going to make a big difference.
So I do want to ask about this. While we're on the subject of special teams, we didn't necessarily get to do a special teams position preview, but I do want to talk about this year's punt returners and kickoff returners. It looks like it's going to be Anthony Evans and Dylan Bell. We only got a glimpse of what Anthony Evans could do last year, but I think that this might be an area where he's really going to excel.
Yeah, you have him having the big punt return in that game against Alabama in the fourth quarter of the SEC championship game, really sparked Georgia's first touchdown drive of that quarter. And he's a guy where I think a lot of people are interested in seeing what he can potentially do for Georgia this season in terms of being an offensive playmaker. But you've seen guys like Ladd McConkey really shine in that punt return role and then use that to grow at the wide receiver position there. And Dylan Bell, similarly, a jack of all trades guy, a guy that has played on kickoff return already. I think guy who, like Zamir White, just does a lot of the smart right things when it comes to that kickoff return there. And Dylan Bell's a guy who I know we're going to talk about here in a minute, a guy that I think is poised to have a big season for Georgia. And the fact that you're willing to see him and use him on special teams, I think speaks to what Georgia sees in him and what the value he brings to this program.
And hopefully we are going to be able to get a glimpse of that this Saturday, because it is the first scrimmage of the season. I'm so ecstatic to finally get a chance to hear about what's going on. I know that you have a lot of guys that you're hoping that are going to be really successful in this scrimmage. So just go from top to bottom. Who's the person that you were looking for the most in this first spring scrimmage?
Yeah, for me, it's the big guy at wide receiver. It's Cole Young. We've heard really, really good things about him throughout practice thus far. The transfer wide receiver from Miami brings a real physical presence to this team. When the lights come on, it'll be in the afternoon, so the lights won't be on. But, you know, when the pads come on and they take the field there in Sanford Stadium, those scrimmages are vitally important to earning trust and earning reps for Georgia this year. And so for me, the guy who, if you're coming out of that for practice, you know, there are a couple guys we'll touch on here, but number one at the top of the list for me is Colby Young, in part because he's already had such a strong spring practice. And if he's able to continue to build off that, I think that's just another encouraging sign for what he might be able to give Georgia this season.
This has been such a strong group of people that Georgia picked up from the transfer portal. Did you think that Colby Young would be the guy that would have this much hype around him out of everybody that they brought in?
I did not, and certainly the events of this past week, I think, dim the way people view Trevor Etienne. He's most likely going to be suspended for Georgia's opener against Clemson. But, you know, look, they bring in three transfer wide receivers. I think you understand going in, not all those guys are going to work out and be able to play a significant role for Georgia this season. But with London Humphreys, you know, getting a jump start, practicing down there at bowl practices, you thought maybe he's a guy that could emerge as sort of the number one transfer wide receiver and potentially the number one receiver for this offense. And while I've heard very good things about London and wouldn't be surprised if he goes out and has a strong spring, Colby Young to this point might be the story of spring practice for Georgia, just in terms of what he's been able to come in and do. And if he's able to build off that in the spring, it gives Carson Beck another, you know, outside wide receiver that he can throw to. And with his size and ability and the fact that he has some proven production at Miami, I think that's very encouraging for what this Georgia wide receiver room can possibly have for the 2024 season.
Another wide receiver that I think needs to have a strong first scrimmage is going to be Dylan Bell. I really think about what he did last year at the Tennessee game, but he's coming in this year. He's going to be a leader out of all of the wide receivers. He's going to have to make a lot more progress. So by the time that you get to see him at that first scrimmage, what improvements are you hoping to see from him?
Yeah, I would say at this point, it's been a relatively quiet spring for Dylan Bell. We haven't heard a whole lot of chatter on him. And being a veteran, it's his third year in the program. That's not necessarily the worst thing in the world. But when we were kicking around this idea, I was using my BA brain and sort of thinking, all right, coming out of the spring or coming out of this scrimmage, you know, if we hear that Dylan Bell has, you know, two touchdown grabs and is really impacting the game in a number of ways, continuing his development as a wide receiver, that's going to be really encouraging, because I think Dylan, you know, ultimate team player that he is, made some sacrifices to his personal game last year when he went and played running back for the first part of the season when Georgia was dealing with injuries at that position. And so you see him as he continues to develop. I know the Deebo Samuel comparison is something that he's really welcomed. He's got to continue to improve as a wide receiver. So if we hear that Dylan Bell is going out and making big catches and making big plays, like we saw him do in the first half of the Florida State game last season, where he had four catches for 86 yards, I think, and really making some impressive contested catches, I think that's another encouraging sign for him, because I think we all agree if Georgia's going to reach its ceiling this this year. It's going to need someone in that wide receiver room to emerge as the true number one target in a way I think Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey both were at times last season. And I think to me, Dylan Bell is the best bet to be that guy.
So if we move to the defensive side of the ball, obviously earlier in the show we talked a lot about K.J. Bolden and Ellis Robinson, but there is another safety, Janelle Aguero, sophomore, somebody that you've spoken highly about. And at the end of this scrimmage, what are you hoping you're going to be able to say about what Janelle Aguero is capable of?
Yeah, I think the big thing for me coming out of the spring is with some of the openings they have in the secondary, you want to hear, because obviously one of those safety spots in that corner spot, they're going to continue that battle, I think, into the regular season and include some rotations at that position. But I think if we see that Janelle Aguero is the guy who has emerged as the first team starting star, sort of that nickelback role player, the way Tyke Smith did it so well for Georgia last season, I think that's really encouraging, not just for Janelle's development there, but also just this Georgia defense and having somewhat of a known entity at that star position, because we saw last season the impact that a kind of player there can have at that position. And I think Janelle Aguero has unique athleticism. He is a guy that can play both star and safety, and he's going to cross train and do both. But I think he has a chance of making a real impact for Georgia at that star position this year, similar to what we saw Tyke Smith do a season ago. And this time last year, and certainly in August, you know, Janelle was a guy that was getting talked up as a guy that could possibly play as a freshman. The way I think we were talking about K.J. Bolden in a similar way, but ultimately suffers an injury in fall camp. That makes things tough sometimes to see guys through, and especially at the start of a season for a young player. So if Janelle is able to build off what he did last year and go ahead and play in this spring game and play well in this first spring scrimmage, it's an encouraging sign for both his development and also what I think the secondary has.
With Smile Mundon out, C.J. Allen coming back, I feel like all eyes are going to be on this linebacker group. Is there anybody that you're going to be paying specific attention to?
Yeah, as the leader of the Jalen Walker fan club, he's had a very good spring ball accounts there, and they're really developing him at that that inside linebacker position, because it's a chance to learn, to grow. And when you watch Jalen Walker play, especially when you see him coming off the edge, he is such a terror there. And it is obvious that he can be a real impact player for Georgia there. But I think when you went back and watched some of his 2023 tape, when he was playing inside linebacker, you could see him sort of thinking through the game and I think playing a step slow in terms of reacting and reading things. I think if he's able to go out and play well, and we hear that, you know, he's a menace and Georgia had a tough time blocking him, he really blew things up in the run game, I think that's a further encouraging sign, because I think, as you and I have both said, Jalen Walker is undoubtedly, I think, one of the five most talented players on this defense this year for Georgia, but he doesn't exactly have a home or a place that he can step in and play on an every down basis. So Georgia's going to have to get creative there. If he keeps making strides at that inside linebacker position, I think that's very encouraging for Georgia and what this Georgia defense might ultimately be able to do in 2024.
With the first scrimmage on Saturday, make sure to check out dognation.com to keep up with all things UJ spring practice. Connor's put some excellent articles up. I'll give you the plug. I got you. Some excellent articles up on the pages of dognation.com. So make sure to check those out. And you're definitely going to want to check it out Saturday after UGA's first scrimmage game. All right. I'm not going to give away much. Just know that we have a new segment. Here it goes.
It's time for the Connor Kaylee Showdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, you could have been anywhere in the world tonight, but you're here with us at the Dog Nation studio. I hope you guys are ready for the very first ever Connor Kaylee Showdown. Connor, I don't even know if you're ready.
Look, like Arthur Morgan, John Marston, I'm ready to be the cowboy and ultimately win this showdown.
And we do have a special guest appearing in our first showdown. Can we give a hand for our referee, Cody Chaffins?
All right. You guys played safe out there.
There will be no promises in the Connor Kaylee showdown. So here's how this one is going to work. As you know, Connor and I tend to go head-to-head sometimes on air, all in good fun, okay? But we put out something on social media last week. Our super awesome social media coordinator, Casey Dunn, put together this game where you have $15 to spend on five positions. So how it's going to work, we're going to show you guys what options. Connor and I will make our picks. And then Cody is going to decide who has the better pick? So for $5, you can take Aaron Murray, Herschel Walker, A.J. Green, Brock Bowers, Andrew Thomas. $4, you can take Bennett, Chubb, Edwards, McMichael, Stinchcomb. For $3, you can take Stafford, Gurley, Pickens, Charles, or SVP. $2, you can take Zaire, Hurst, Mitchell, Pope, or Wynn. And then for $1, you could have David Green, Michelle, McConkey, Sadowski, and Jones. Those are your options right there. You've got $15 to spend. You can do it any way you want. And we are going to encourage you and to put your picks in the comments. So I'm excited for this one. I have a feeling that my list is pretty strong.
It can be incredibly strong, and it won't be better than mine. So let's go ahead.
Well, we're going to let the unbiased person decide. So let's go ahead and take a look at what we've got here. All right. Connor, I'll let you go first. Walk us through your picks.
We're starting with Matthew Stafford. I think perhaps the most talented quarterback to ever play at Georgia. I think there are a lot of people that were like, how could you have Stafford at $3? If you base it on what they have done at Georgia, I think Aaron Murray had a better career than Matthew Stafford. I know Stetson Bennett had a better career than Matthew Stafford. And so with Stafford, I get a talented player. Maybe didn't exactly do everything at Georgia he necessarily wanted to, but I feel very good there. Look, in my opinion, I love Todd Gurley. I've enjoyed getting to watch him play. I was at college at the same time that he was. He was incredible. I think his 2014 season is one of the lost great seasons, not just in Georgia football history, but in the 21st century of college football. And so I have to have him on my team. With George Pickens, $3. Look, George is going to do some things. He's going to make some great catches. He might also get thrown out of a game for fighting. But we need a difference maker on the outside, and I would just love to see Stafford chucking it deep to George Pickens and George just running it down. Tight end, look, it's expensive, sure, but there's no one better than Brock Bowers. I believe he is the best player to ever put on the Georgia uniform, to ever wear the Georgia G on the side of his helmet. There are a lot of great tight ends that have played for the University of Georgia, but I wasn't messing around, and I was going and willing to spend anything to get Brock Bowers on my team. And then, Ben Jones is a longtime veteran in the NFL and a guy that had a very good career at Georgia. But I think most importantly, he just sort of fits with the vibes that I want to have on this team. Like, could my team possibly lose at home to Tennessee and that'll end up keeping him out of the SEC championship game? Sure. But you will not find a team that has more fun and scores more points than my team. So for $3, we got Stafford, Gurley, and Pickens. That's $9. For $5, that's Brock Bowers. That gets us to $14. And for $1, we got the great Ben Jones at the center position.
All right. So here's, let me tell you why you're wrong. Let's go ahead and bring it back up. First off, David Green at $1 is an absolute steal. And if you can't see that, you must be blind, because David Green, a part of the Hobnail Boot Game, legendary, right? Also led Georgia to their first SEC championship since I believe it was 1982. I could not believe my eyes when I looked at the graphic and I saw that he was the $1 person. I mean, immediate, no doubt. And then, okay, I'm going to group these next two together. We have gotten some, I guess tension or backlash from the audience for you and I stating that Brock Bowers is the greatest player to ever play for UGA. Well, I feel like that girl from the taco commercial when she's like, well, why can't we have both? And that's exactly what I did by putting both Herschel Walker and Brock Bowers on my team. And you could come at me and say, oh, Kaylee, well, David Green wasn't great at running the ball. I don't need him to run the ball. I have Herschel Walker on my team along with Brock Bowers. I think those two alone could take everybody else on your list. Forget a quarterback. I could just have those two, and they're taking your whole list. Again, another steal for $1, Ladd McConkey. Are you kidding me? Someone who's able to make incredible plays. I mean, unhuman-like plays for that matter. I do like your take in George Pickens here, but I'm going with my guy, Ladd McConkey, here. He's just, he's all in good fun. And then Cedric Van Pran, 3-year starter. He's my leader guy. He's the one that's keeping all these guys in check. I needed somebody who had a lot of experience but could also manage all these big personalities that I have on my team. So with that, I feel good about where this is going. And I'm sorry that you're just not built like me.
Por que lo nos dos? Look, we're going to have a great time in our team. We've got some talented players. We're going to throw the ball around. We're going to have a fun time. And look, your team, look, how are you going to expect it to be getting the ball to Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey when you have to turn around and hand the ball off to Herschel Walker every play, as seemed to be the case in his time at the University of Georgia? That's a lot of mouths to feed. And I just wonder about team chemistry over there with your team and what you guys are going to be able to do. I think all my guys are going to go along. I think they're all going to have a fabulous time together. But I just have some questions about how you're going to spread the ball around on offense when you do have guys like Herschel Walker commanding such a high carry load.
So here's the thing. You keep talking about how great of a time that they're going to have. That is not what this is about. This is not about the team that can have the most great time. This is about the team that's going to win. And I think it's very evident by how you're going about this that I have the better team. But there's only one way that we can decide here, and that is our wonderful referee, Cody Chapins. Cody, just go ahead and tell us how it is.
All right. So it's our first time that I'm refereeing, so you'll learn this about me. You got to play to the referee a little bit. Nobody picked my fellow Shambly Bulldog Troy Sadowski for $1. That's a steal at tight end, right? I do agree that Connor's team's going to win the party, whether it's Stafford at Talladega or Gurley or George Pickens, Ben Jones. I can just see him with that Georgia Tech turf in his mouth. So they're definitely going to win the party. And Kaylee is going to have incredible leadership. You got SVP on her team. You got David Green doing his. That team's not going to get out of line. Ladd McConkey doing the community work. So I do love that when it's all said and done, I think the first Connor Kaylee Showdown winner is Kaylee Mansell.
Yes.
And I do think the folks in the comments will again jump on Connor for sliding Herschel Walker. Another time he goes with Brock Bowers over Herschel.
I mean, look, I would say surprised, but not really.
Look, I saw Todd Gurley play with my own two eyes. I know what that man is capable of. I'm very confident in what we have at the running back position here.
Oh, I'm glad that you're confident in yourself. That's all you should really be. But, I mean, I feel great about this win. We are starting off on a strong note. To be honest, I really wasn't worried, like, at all. Not even for a second. So, talk about confidence. I've had
I would just like to point out, I had to submit my team in advance, whereas Kaylee did not share her team with me. That is not fair opposition research. I would just like to let the audience know that I'm working at a disadvantage.
Okay,
here.
Well, let me just clarify. That is a cheap shot by Connor Riley, who is being a sore loser right now because I had to have his picks in order to make the graphics. So I don't need to explain myself, but I will. But that was our first Connor Kaylee showdown. And as always, Kaylee takes the cake here. So Kaylee won. Connor 0, Cody Chapins, we thank you for being the best referee out there. And now we know moving forward that we've got to cater to the ref. So that hopefully will help both of us going forward. But Dog Nation, leave your thoughts in the comments. We want to know what you think. Who would you pick for your team? And as always, thank you so much for joining us here on the Dog Nation preseason. Make sure to check out all of our past episodes on YouTube. You can also check out the Next Generation series to learn more about the freshmen that we have. And, of course, all of our shows that we do each week. Again, Dog Nation, thank you for joining us on this Dog Nation preseason. I'm Kaylee Mansell with Connor Riley, and we'll see you right back here next week, 7:30.